We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to The Pod Is The Roof, the official UNC basketball podcast, Field of 68. I am your host, Riley Davis, joined as always by my co-host, Jacob Karabatsis, and we're back after a nice little holiday break, enjoyed some Christmas time festivities with our families, New Year's Eve, of course. How are you doing, JK? How was your holiday?
It was good, man. You know, always got to show what I'm repping. Got a nice, fresh, new North Carolina sweatshirt, so had to bring it on for the post-holiday episode. But yeah, man, it was a time filled with a lot of treats, you know, like we drafted. I was absolutely killing those peanut butter Ritz crackers dipped in chocolate, just absolutely elite. And yeah, man, we've got to enjoy two UNC dubs since the last time we recorded. We kind of knew what was going to happen against Charleston Southern. And then tonight was kind of the dreaded one, man. Like, lost three straight, 1-5 in the last six. It's like, we cannot beat Pitt. Tonight, we finally flipped the script, which I think says a lot about this team. I think it was a big litmus test. But yeah, man, I'm excited. This group just keeps giving me reason to believe every week.
I'm with you on all accounts, starting with the treats. I crushed some peppermint bark. My wife got me some in my stocking. It was great. I made some homemade hot chocolate the other night, which I thought of you because I know that was your second pick. Let me tell you, homemade hot chocolate is tough to beat. But yeah, it's I'll go ahead and say it with about this game tonight. We're recording this right after about 40 minutes after UNC capped off a 70-57 win over Pitt. This was the most nervous I've been about a game heading into it. Because at least me mentally as a fan, like the Kentucky game, it's almost like a, you know, it's a win-win. Well, it's a win-win in the sense that if you win, of course, you're ecstatic. But if you lose, it doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt your resume. Same with UConn, to a similar extent, Oklahoma, same with that too. And it was tough to be nervous about that game just because it was in Charlotte. Like these big games against top 10, top 15 teams, those, because I believe this Carolina team is pretty good, and we really had sort of since that picked up on that in Atlantis, and it's carried on really throughout the non-con. Like, yeah, I'm able to, you know, of course, be nervous some in the game, but a game like this against Pitt, they've had UNC's number, and it is a game that technically doesn't hurt you, but like it would hurt you to lose to this Pitt team. I think they're pretty average as a whole. I want to say they're like 45th on KenPom. I'd say they have a chance to be on the bubble. But going into it, like just the history there and how, like you mentioned, winning five of the last six was a game I really wanted to see Carolina come out and handle business. And for a second there, it didn't look like we were going to.
That start was abysmal. And that's what made me so scared. It's like the history of Pitt having our number on top of the fact that this was this group's true, like first true road game. I'm like, dude, of course we have to start at Pitt. Like it's going to continue. Then the first like 10 minutes were just awful. And I mean, 5 minutes in or 4 minutes in, however long it was, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, are we just going to like score 0 points? I mean, we literally can't hit a shot. And I mean, It was worrisome. I also noticed that we always start games off with like three cornerback shots, which is very interesting to me. Like, I guess to see, what the vibes are, if he's going to be in like a heat check mood. He ended up settling down and playing pretty good down the stretch. But I mean, I took away from this that this group, and I feel like we've talked about this a lot, is different than the others because they can win in so many different ways. Like they talked about it on the broadcast. UNC wants to be a finesse team. They don't want to play physical, but this team showed that they can play physical because Pitt was being very physical. And, like second half, TV Teddy, he stepped up a little bit. He
Hey,
was
that
on
was
the
a
spotlight.
legacy performance from
Oh, dude,
TV
I need, listen, I know like one's NBA, one's college, but just once in my life, let me get a TV Teddy Scott Foster collab. That game will take 5.5 hours to complete. But I mean, yeah, the physicality was incredible. And I'm telling you, like, there's two guys that really stand out to me in these games that just up the physicality of the whole team. And it's so easily Harrison Ingram and Seth Trimble. Like, dude, first off, Seth Trimble was phenomenal. Like, this was kind of the Seth Trimble game. Like, he kept us in it for a while. But, dude, Harrison Ingram shot terribly, but I mean, 15 rebounds, banging in the post. I mean, this guy, like, he's on that Brady Manek, maybe only 1 year in UNC, but like one of my favorite Tar Heels level.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with the physicality. And like, this is a game I have zero interest in rewatching. I don't think I want to. Maybe let me see a highlight of that Seth Trimble dunk. That alley-oop from RJ was sick. But as a whole, yeah, not one I'm going to be like, oh, let's fire up the Matthew Loves Ball highlights and dive back into this. It was so ugly to watch because, like, I mean, Carolina just could not get clean looks and they missed some clean looks. But I love that they were able to get a double digit win on the road because it shows that they can win ugly. And again, we've talked some about the rebounding issues of this team, and the obviously the UNC has a size disadvantage in most games it plays against high major competition. But I don't want to sound cliche, like I don't take their lack of size for lack of toughness. Like it's a team that in my mind has some of that same mental fortitude that we saw of the 2022 team when they got hot down the stretch and started coming together at the right time. Just because both this game and the Oklahoma game, they got out to anywhere from like an 8 to 9 point lead, maybe Pitt, and then it happened with Oklahoma too, cuts the lead to anywhere from 4 to 6, and someone steps up and hits a big shot. You mentioned Harrison already, but I thought that three that he drained out of the Armando double team, for one, great pass from Armando, but two, how about, yeah, Ingram after a tough shooting night where he did everything else well, 15 boards, 3 assists, 2 blocks. Steps into the shot, drains it, and it's basically the dagger. And yeah, you're spot on with Seth too. I think his, he's not going to have the counting stats that will get him in the national conversation for most improved player. But any Carolina fan knows like how much the just strides that he's made since last year. It's been
Yeah.
incredible to see.
I mean, to me, it looks like Hubert sat Seth down in the offseason and was like, look, I don't want you to go anywhere. You might not start, but you're going to be the most important piece off this bench. Like, we need your defense. We need your athleticism. His shooting, like the freaking shot clock, the shot clock winding down top of the key three that he hit, that was just straight nails. Last year, he might throw that over the backboard. Like, dude, he's so good this year. Like, I would go as far to say in a lot of contests in the ACC, which we'll get into the schedule in a little bit, but in a lot of these contests, he's gonna be like the X factor guy because you kind of know what you're getting from everyone else. But yeah, I mean, it was nice to out rebound Pitt by 10, grab 51 rebounds. And I think it was a great test into the next conference game against Clemson because Clemson is also big. They rebound the ball extremely well. You just played a team who doesn't start a guy that's below 6'5". Like Pitt, They're not the greatest, but dude, they are long and on the glass and physical. And I think it was a great preparation game for this brutal test that's going to be Saturday. But I mean, yeah, I just, you shoot 29% from three. You were pretty much terrible offensively. I mean, RJ finally had a bad game, shot 6 of 16. Ingram was like 2 of 12 or something like that. Armando looked a little bit back, but
I
it's
wanted
tough, man.
I got before we move on to the conference preview and talk some about Clemson, two thoughts. Again, I wanted to build off of Trimble and just share a little insight of what he told me after the Charleston Southern game. Just talking to him in the press room, and tweeted out one of these videos, just him reflecting on his development over the past year. He said a lot of it was mental and sort of the mental block his freshman year, where I didn't ex I mean, I almost explicitly said to him, like, hey, last year there are times where you went into the lane and were out of control. Yet, like we saw it against Charleston Southern, he hit probably three or four floaters down the stretch when he was in the lane. Tonight, we saw him hit that lefty finish that was one of the first baskets UNC got. He's playing so much more under control. He's hitting threes. That alley-oop was so fun to watch. Like, he's, and not to mention, he's still an absolute menace on ball. Like, he's just a hellacious defender. And I thought UNC's defense as a whole was pretty good this game. They definitely got bailed out by Pitt missing some clean looks. It wasn't like a perfect defensive performance by any stretch, but I thought they fought through screens well. They had good communication. And you mentioned Armando. He was the last one I wanted to touch on because I'm glad he finished with 16 and 10, because even when he had 10 points, I was like, man, I can't believe he's, his point total so low, because it feels like he was all over this game.
Yeah.
Like, defensively, he was
That's
fantastic.
one of the best defensive performances I've seen him put up. The block on Federico was nuts. Like, he was literally playing center field on the screen, and Federico got downhill and he somehow blocked it, like, right when, I mean, that's one of the better defensive performances I've seen from him for sure.
And you even saw it, like, the last possession of the game. And granted, it was garbage time, but Armando's been pretty good switching on guards, really going back to the national title run. Carlton Carrington got him on a switch. Bacot stuck with him, forced him to the right, forced him to throw up a contested shot that was an air ball. Like, UNC actually has a pretty good defense when Armando is operating as that anchor, as he is protecting the rim, getting a couple blocks, and playing admirably in switches. So, yeah, I thought, it wasn't as flashy as some of his, well, granted, Armando games are rarely flashy. It wasn't as gritty. It wasn't as headline grabbing as his 2020 games, but maybe the best game he's played all year. I'm trying to
I
think
got
of it.
another defensive shout out too.
Let
I
me
do
hear
agree
it.
with the Mondo thing. Elliot Cadeau was elite every time he got switched on to Blake Henson. Yeah, he had four fouls, but dude, Blake Henson outweighs him by like 200 damn pounds. So it's like, I mean, he got the offensive foul called or pretty early in the first. I mean, I thought Cadeau was like super suit like he just did exactly what we said that we wanted him to do all year, which is just be scrappy, be annoying, try. And dude, I thought he was actually like really good on defense. And I got to give a shout out. It was the best Jalen Withers game we've been blessed with yet. He actually,
He was good.
he, no, like, dude, I never thought I'd be saying this. In the first half, when he had the Withers Washington combo out there and Armando was on the bench, I actually got like a little upset when he took out Withers instead of Washington. Because I mean, he was physical on the glass, like he looked more under control. Now he did the typical, missed his one super wide open three, but he still finished 2 of 3. Like, that's all we need from Withers, man. Give me them solid 12 minutes and we're chilling. I mean, I thought it was definitely his best performance without question.
Yeah, his putback was also at a really clutch moment where you see the athleticism, you see why fans like want to see him materialize. I know we've, voiced some skepticism just with him being 22, 23 years old and sort of thinking he might be what he is, but maybe this is where maybe we are moving toward seeing him thrive in an actual basketball environment, just in a 15-minute a game role. But I'm with you on that. So yeah, as a whole, pleased with UNC's defensive performance. Got bailed out by some missed pit oh some pit missing some open shots, but as a whole, pretty encouraging to see. And I'm never going to complain about a double-digit road win in conference
We
play.
finally broke the Capel curse, man. That
I
dude
had
was becoming a part-time owner, but I do want to give a shout out because I'm assuming he's going to stay 2 years, but dude, Carlton Carrington's going to be an issue at
That
some
dude's
point.
nice.
Dude,
He's
he's
good.
good, bro.
He's a.
He's 6'5" and he's just, oh man, he's going to be special.
I hope he portals.
I do
He's got to
too.
get out of Pitt. Go get the bag from like, let's see, who would pay him? Any SEC school, UConn. Go be
He
the
gives me
Tristan.
Houston vibes.
I could see that.
Like he just does. I
Yeah.
mean,
Getting that Big 12 money.
oh yeah.
All right, shall we talk a little bit about the conference slate?
Oh yeah, man, it's gonna be a doozy.
It is. And I think part of why this win was so important was just looking at these next three games. Play Clemson on Saturday. The NC State game is the following Tuesday, I believe. I don't have the schedule
Wednesday.
in front of me.
I
Wednesday.
got it in front of me.
And you want to go 2-1 during this stretch, 1-2 at worst. Well, we locked that up tonight. We'll at worst go 1-2, but preferably 2-1, or excuse me, preferably 3-0. But at least want to get 2-1 and to have that first one in the bank with the toughest matchup coming up. Definitely going in with a little confidence. But as you look ahead to that Clemson game, I know you talked about their rebounding. Is there anything else that sticks out to you as far as, what will be the keys for UNC to come out of Little John Coliseum with a win?
Well, first off, we've said it all year, but like this is genuinely a game that if Armando does not show up, we get killed. And that's just a fact. Now, I will say this, I am a little worried about Joe Girard because he typically does hoop against UNC, but on the other end, Clemson's strength is inside, and I think this could be an absolute RJ Davis masterclass. Like, I mean, maybe they try to put like Chauncey Wiggins on him for some length, and I mean, I just don't think they have the answer for RJ. And I mean, not like anyone does, but like he's coming off a bad game too. This could be a huge, huge RJ game. But the other key is Ingram has to be better than Shefflin. Like it's pretty simple. That's kind of the Swiss Army knife X factor guys for both teams. And Ingram has to be the better one. Now, I'm not as worried because Clemson really hasn't been tested, if I'm being honest. Like UNC has been tested. The Kentucky game was a test. The UConn game was a test. Like even Villanova, I'd consider that a test. Clemson's 11-1, but like South Carolina took them down to the brink. I mean, I think Clemson is really good, but I'm gonna go out and say this, especially for our boys on After Dark. I do think we're gassing Clemson a little too much, like just a little bit. I think they're really good. Definitely a tournament lock. Definitely a top three team in the ACC. However, I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit because the schedule has been pretty favorable.
I'm with you to an extent. I sort of think UNC drops this game on Saturday.
I do
It'll
too.
be it. We've sort of struggled in Little John in recent years, and a lot of teams have. Like they beat Duke there last year. It's like it's just a tough place to play. I've never been to Little John. It's kind of a weird looking arena. You got that giant paw print that takes up like 70 to 80% of the court, the center court paw. Like the lighting in it seems weird. It's just I don't know. That arena as a whole has sort of been a house of horrors for many an ACC foe recently. But I think you're spot on with the Eden Shefflin and Harrison Ingram matchup. Shefflin to me is sort of been that type of player that's hurt Carolina a lot this year. When you see he's top 35 nationally in both offensive rebounding rate and defensive rebounding rate. Like he is one tough dude who's not overly big. He's only 6'8", but he's got some width to him, he's got some muscle to him, and just has a nose for the ball. So he's one to watch. And I think, Chase Hunter, the one who's gonna draw the assignment of RJ Davis, most likely. I'm guessing they'll try to hide Joe Girard on Cadeau, which Maybe we see Huber Davis let Elliott cook a little bit out of ball screens.
I could see that.
Blow by Joe Girard. That'd be nice to see. But Chase Hunter has picked up his play recently. He was someone I thought was really good last year and was sort of like the one of the more slept on guards in the country. He scored 16 against Radford coming into this game, 13 in the loss to Memphis because he had started out a little bit slower out of the gates. But they like if Clemson does want to win this game, they can't afford a no-show from Chase Hunter.
It is interesting. This is kind of like, last four games at Little John, UNC's 2-2. So it's just kind of like you said, they struggle. It just doesn't, this matchup really doesn't make sense to me because I don't understand how you absolutely own a team at home. They cannot beat you in the Smith Center. Like they can't. And it's just like you play them on their court and, respectfully, it's not like Little John is going into the kennel or anything like that.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense. I think if they win this game, though, I'll be honest, man, and I'm not just saying this because it's a rival, but I'm not worried about NC State at all. Like,
Yeah.
I think we're gonna crush NC State. But I mean, look, man, this is the one that's important because if you win this one, the only game I'm really worried about the rest of the month, and obviously they could lose one. I'm just saying the only one that really like scares me a bit is Syracuse, just because Judah Mintz is that guy. But like I think this one's huge because the month of January is pretty favorable, but then we transition to February, which is where I want to go next to you. And it sucks. You play Duke at home, Clemson at home, at Miami, at Cuse, Virginia Tech at home, at Virginia, which I don't care. Yes, Virginia sucks. We'll find a way to make that close.
We're not going to win that game. Just
No,
prepare mentally. If we don't win in JPJ.
and then Miami at Carolina. I mean, you look at those seven games, like that could easily be a 3-4 or 4-3 month. So, how important is this month of January? Like, what's your ideal? You look at the nine conference games. What's your record for the Heels that they could get away with where you're like, all right, I feel pretty good about the rest of the year?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season. And we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners, and the viewers on the Field of 68 each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500 1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When crossing state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, we do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today.
I mean, I sort of think, so let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need to make sure. How many games did you say were in January after
nine.
Today?
Well, there's 8 left, but 9 in total, including Pitt.
I kind of think you want to go 7-1 the rest of the way. At worst, 6-2. Like,
I agree.
You can excuse dropping a game at Georgia Tech. Again, another arena where John Henson said this on After Dark a few nights ago that, like, even when he was there on elite Carolina teams that got one seeds, like, they would play poorly in Atlanta. It's like the football team plays poorly there too. So yeah, maybe you drop one of those games, but yeah, I will say the thing about February, like, you get some good teams at home. You should beat Duke, Clemson, and Miami at home. I know they're good teams, but you gotta hold serve on your home court. But yeah, going to Coral Gables, UNC's played pretty well at Syracuse in recent years. I can't remember if they've lost there in the past few seasons, but it's always the Syracuse team is pretty good. They got guards, they got length. So yeah,
any team with guards kind of historically, I'm just like, they got a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, they got a puncher's chance because we've been susceptible to that in the past. I do think this year we are better defensively. But, yeah, I'm very interested to watch this game on Saturday because this game against Pitt was a litmus test, and then this game against Clemson is really like, all right, who's the best team in the ACC? Let's mm-hmm. see it. And yeah. I think we got to have a chip on our shoulder, man. Like, mm-hmm. I think we got to come out there and be like, all right, they're 11-1. You know, we need to prove something here. We need to right. prove that we're the team to beat. You know, I just worry about it, man, because I do think this team can at times be a little bit live and die by the three-ish. Mm-hmm. And obviously tonight they played so well defensively, it didn't really matter. But against a team like Clemson, if the threes aren't falling, I promise you they're going to score more than 57 points. Like,
yeah,
PJ Hall is going to figure something else out. And right. that's ultimately what concerns me. Like,
yeah.
PJ Hall is the type of big who historically just absolutely slices UNC's defense. And mm-hmm. it worries me, man, but I think it's one of those things where you kind of have to let PJ try to cook Armando one-on-one and just worry about stopping everyone else. Right. Let PJ be an All-American. Let PJ be first team All-ACC and focus on everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you on that. I will say I think it's good that they got this road game out of their system first. And again, after the Charleston Southern game, Hubert was really downplaying it. He said, the basket's the same. Like, it's like y'all keep talking about these neutral games. Didn't feel like neutral being in Atlanta. It didn't feel like neutral playing Arkansas in the Bahamas. Like, it didn't feel like neutral playing in MSG. Didn't feel like neutral playing in Charlotte at Oklahoma. Just in that case, that was in UNC's favor. But anyway, I do think there is something different when you are at a school's building with their fans. No matter how many coaches, how many players try to downplay it, it's good to get that out of their system. And, you know, even going into this game Saturday, like, I think UNC's players will have a sense for the moment. You know, it's one of those games where I think you're going to see an RJ Davis, a Harrison Ingram rise their game to meet the occasion. So I don't think Carolina's going to shoot 29% from three again. Even as I'm talking it out, I'm like, do I want to change my prediction and say Carolina gets the win? But I'm just afraid to jinx us. So
yeah, hey, you know my rule, man. After the Kentucky game, I told you I will not predict Carolina to win in any more big games because every time I do, they find a way, man.
All
They
right, if
find
you're
a way
predicting,
to make me wrong.
maybe I'll balance it out and predict Carolina to win on Saturday if you're going to say they won't. I'm going to go out and say it. Carolina wins at Clemson. They win at State. They win at home for Syracuse. They definitely win at home for Louisville. They win at Boston College. They win at home against Wake Forest, and they win at Florida State.
I think
And we're
the
looking at a
only
nine game winning streak, like our longest in probably 5 years.
I think I guess this kind of leads me into the next question here. So I don't think the ACC is particularly great this year, to say the least. I think a lot of the teams that were supposed to be good, Virginia, they're just really bad. And then I look at a team like Miami, who, I get they've been hurt. They've been playing without Nigel, and I think they played a game without Wuga as well. But I watched what happened when they played Kentucky, man. And I just don't know how good they are. I know they have good guards, and that's a formula in college basketball, but I just don't think they're that great. And I don't think the ACC is that great. So, with that being said, looking at it, UNC is 10-3 now. What is the record for the season where you'd be like, all right, I'm disappointed? And what's the record where you're like, that's what I expected? And what's the record that would be overperforming the expectation?
I would say worse than probably 14-6. If UNC finishes 14 or 13-7 in league play, which would have them at, what is that? 13-7. I'm bad at math.
23-10.
Thank you.
Yeah,
No, I think that would be, we'd be 21-10 because we've already played two league games. So we go 11,
that's true.
Carolina went
That's
11-7 in league play down the stretch and 21-10. I would feel kind of disappointed by that going into the tournament. I think that would still, I think they would still have enough Q1 wins in there to be like a 7 or an 8 seed, but it would be a far cry from the hope at like a 3 or maybe even a 2 seed that I have for Carolina right now. 16-4, I would be pumped about.
Oh, yeah.
If 15-5, 14-6, I'd be 15-5, I'd be pretty happy about. 14-6, I'd be like, okay, yeah, this is fine. This is a little bit, maybe slightly disappointing, but hey, I'll take it. But yeah, 15-5 or better, we'll be flying high.
I'm in the same boat. I'll be honest, some people might think this is being a little bit too confident, but from what I've seen and how unpredictable college basketball has been this year, which there's always a lot of parity in college hoops, but this year it's been kind of nuts considering we're only just over a month in. Like, I would say this, I fully expect that UNC should be a top 4 seed in the tournament. Like,
Yeah.
I do think they're a top 12 team in the nation. So
Right.
if they choke and they end up being like a 7, I'm gonna be very disappointed. I think this should be a season in which, at worst, they finish as a top 15 team and they finish second in the ACC. Like, I know Duke's figuring it out. I know Clemson's good, but I still, just from what I've seen, I think that's very feasible. I think the SEC and the ACC are both very weak this year. So,
Yeah.
I don't think there's any excuse.
So let's close with this topic. Speaking of the ACC, speaking of our own expectations, what do you think Carolina has to do to win the ACC? What needs to change? What needs to continue?
Okay. So they have to keep pushing the pace. Like, no matter what, I don't care if they're up by 20. When they slow the game down, they suck. No more slowing the game down. Like, bad shots. I think the other thing I would say that needs to change, the rebounding. We saw it tonight. We need to see it every game. Like, the rebounding has to be there. I've been pleased with the turnovers. For the most part, I've been pleased with the shot selection. But to win the ACC and take them to that next level, I think that Cadeau has to be able to score a little better.
Yep.
I don't need him to give me like 15 or 10. I need him to be like a guy that doesn't get guarded like Ben Simmons. And that's it. I love the kid. He's an insane playmaker. He's like the improvement from game one to now defensively is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to see a little scoring. That's it.
Yeah. 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 I would say for me, what I think needs to stay the same, like you mentioned, keep pushing the pace. I love Harrison Ingram as a playmaker from the top of the key in secondary break. We've seen that a little bit. But I also like that. I think Hubert knows when it gets to be a half court game, you want RJ Davis cooking out a pick and roll. You want to spread it out. You want to run Spain pick and roll, Ram pick and roll, and let him go to work. I think that's the key to success. I want to see Armando's defensive intensity continue like it was both against Pitt and Oklahoma. Yeah, those are the two big keys. And Harrison Ingram got to keep making threes. I know he was only 1 for 5 against Pitt, but he's still probably 39, 40% on the year. As long as he can stay above 37, 38%, I think UNC's in a good position. What I want to see change is also Cadeau. It all comes back to him. Just let him operate out of ball screens a little bit more. And I think any lineup that he's in, you got to have at least one of Cormac or RJ with him. You need that shooting gravity around him. Maybe Seth Trimble, if he keeps shooting the way he does, play him to get a little shooting gravity as there around him as well. You want players who are going to be able to spread it out around him and let him get downhill, because it still feels to me like, even though he lacks elite length, he's going to get some of his shots blocked. He's so explosive that it seems like he can get downhill so easily. And I know that might not make sense for people who don't watch Carolina, and you see he's scored 4 points against Pitt. But he can do it. He can get to the rim and finish through contact. And I would love to see him get these free throws figured out. Eventually, it's got to happen. You want to see by the end of this month, by the end of this 7 games left in January, you want to see Cadeau be able to give you 8 to 12 points most nights, 3 to 6 assists, and hopefully maybe 70% free throw shooter instead of like 55%.
Yeah. The last thing, which kind of forgot to add it, I do want to see a little more consistency out of Cormac as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he's great, he's great. And I like what he's doing, but like outside of shooting the ball, which is funny because you bring him in and he's like a knockdown shooter. Outside of shooting the ball, I've loved most of the things he's done. Like, he's always intense. He's always playing full speed. He's always trying on both ends of the floor. If he can just tune it a little bit, just give me 2 for 5 every night. Like, and there we go. Like, that's the key, man.
Yeah, it's interesting with him. Like, it feels like he's money every time he shoots a mid-range shot. It's just when he steps beyond the arc, I'm like, why is he missing so many? He's
sometimes I honestly think, now some of them are just not good shots, but some of them, he seems like a guy that doesn't like shooting when he's too open.
Yeah. Like, he needs a little hand in his face to give him a little challenge.
Yeah, like he needs someone at least like in the vicinity. I've noticed on the wide open looks, I don't know if he's overthinking. I don't know if he's hesitating. I mean, the form looks the same, but yeah, he's going to be huge because he's got to be able to get to that point where guys like actually have to worry about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need to be on the court like trembling. Oh my God, if they run a play for Cormac Ryan here and he's open, we're cooked. He's hitting.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's it. And, you know, like you said with Ingram, do I expect him to maintain 40%? Not necessarily, but as long as he stays respectable,
mm-hmm.
we're fine.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Yep. All right, let's close with four corners. I got a little topic. This is unrelated to conference play, but I think all the UNC fans, well, I would assume our audience is probably 95% UNC fans who will appreciate this. This idea was given to me by actually someone on an Inside Carolina message board, B. Smitty. Shout out to this dude who shot me this idea. I want to rank the best number fives in UNC history.
Mm. That's a good one. Are we like,
or our top four, I guess, to fit the four corners theme?
Man, that's tough. Are we gonna just do like a conjoined list? I feel like that's the easiest way to do it, because that way we're not like stealing each other's picks. Or
yeah,
I feel like we can do it. I feel like we can do a combined list, and then we can determine if certain guys are fives or if they're not.
I'm with you.
I mean, I will give you the floor.
Oh, I was saying the guys to wear number five jersey.
Oh, guys to wear number five. Okay.
So I was
God. Oh man,
got a lot of point guards to choose from, and then Armando, maybe a little Tony Bradley appearance cameo. No, Tony's not cracking it. What a great
Tony Bradley being a one and done is still absolutely nuts to me.
Hey, he was a first round pick. He got his guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
If,
I mean,
if he
that's
was,
true.
Though, if he was around in the NIL era, year two, Tony Bradley would have been making crazy money. That dude would have been a focal point and would have been a monster.
I agree. All right. So, I mean, let's just say this. I think there's two that we both know, like, are locks, right?
Ty
and Marcus. They're both locks, right?
I think Marcus does have to be a lock. Yeah,
I would say he is, just because it's like weird, because I don't think he necessarily is from a talent perspective, but from like a program impact, he's definitely got to be there.
Right. He was so important to the program, especially through the academic program. Through the academic scandal, is like that stabilizing force, made an All-American team and got the Final Four national championship appearance that I think gets him on there. I think you could, between Armando and Marcus, I would give the edge to Marcus, just because like they both have the Final Four and the national championship appearance. They both have All-American teams, but I think Armando was third team, whereas Marcus was either first or second his sophomore year. And I think Marcus played on an elite team that got a one seed his senior year, and the best seed Baycott's gotten in the tournament is an eight. Baycott can make up some ground. I think if UNC snags like a two seed this year and sustains this like top 10 ranking all year. But yeah, I say Marcus for sure deserves it with Ty. That leaves two spots left. We could go Kendall Marshall. We could go Ed Cota for the old heads.
I feel like Cota has to be in there, just simply because like he's like the OG version of what Cadeau will be if he stays multiple years. Like he's probably, I mean, that's tough, because I think him and Kendall Marshall are probably like the best two passers in the history of the program, arguably. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
I think
so,
I would say throw Ed Cota for the old heads.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You gotta have an OG.
He is an OG and had like the cult following, who people who I'm too young to remember Ed Cota. I mean, I was alive when he played at UNC. I just wasn't really paying attention.
I might not have even been alive, if I'm being honest. So, but I just know
he was there from 96 to 2000. Were you born in?
I was 99? Born in 98. So,
okay. So
I was two. I wasn't necessarily locked in on the X's and O's at the ripe age of two.
I was 4 to 8 years old. So I was eight his last, or seven his last year there. Yeah, I was not paying attention. But yeah, people who were around to watch Ed Cota rave about how great Ed Cota was. So we can throw him on there.
100%. And then it comes down to like, who's the final spot?
Kay Butter, Armando.
See, okay, this is where it's hard, right? Feels like there has to be a big. Feels like there does. I think the three point guards we've picked, I'd probably put over Kendall Marshall. And I want to say Mondo, just because when his career is over at the end of this year,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to be what? Statistically, without question, a top 10 player in the history of the program.
Right.
I mean, I top just...
10. Yeah, he has a good case for top 10.
I don't think he's top 10 from a talent perspective, but mm-hmm. just from a statistical stance. Right. He'll be top 10. So it's like, it's hard to leave him off, man. It's like one of those things where if Armando was a 3-year player, he's definitely not on this list, but because he has played every year,
right.
I think you got to have him on, man. Like all the double doubles, he's over 2K.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's gonna be, you know, I mean, he could go down as a guy that you look at in the future and say he might be like the best rebounder there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just I can't leave him off. Like I would personally lean him over K Butter. No,
I think I'd go with
to
that
the
too.
GOAT, though.
And it's also like I think that the national championship appearance carries a lot of weight. It's funny, I'm looking at rosters from like the 80s because I'm like, okay, the 82 team with Michael Jordan, is there anybody we're forgetting? There was only one player on that team who wore a single digit. Linwood Robinson wore number 4. Everybody else was in the 20s, 30s, or 40s.
Interesting.
How about this? They had a 41, 43, 44, and 45. A 50. Timo Makkonen wore 51. Warren Martin wore 54. Talk about some terrible jersey numbers.
Dude, that's a disaster. Like, I would hate to watch that. That would be the least aesthetically pleasing game that you could ever watch. Like, I can't, you know, my last thing, I can't stand dudes that wear like obnoxiously high numbers on the basketball court. Like, I'm forever a Taj Gibson hater because he wore the number 67 in Minnesota. Who does that?
Horrendous.
I mean, that's like, oh my God. I remember when Amir Johnson left Philly and came to Boston and he was number 99. Like, dude.
And Jay Crowder. The Celtics have had a lot of dudes where the Celtics look like they're trying to tote out like an offensive and a defensive line with the numbers. They always have dudes wearing numbers in the 70s. And
oh, dude, it's
I do think 77 looks kind of cool on Luka. I'll give him that.
No, yeah. See, when you're a certain level of elite,
yeah, you can wear whatever you want.
It doesn't matter. Like, bro, if LeBron was number 81, who cares?
That would be kind of tight.
Like, who cares? But yeah, I mean, scrubs that wear high numbers, I'm out. I'm out on scrubs wearing high numbers.
I think generally, if you're going to go in the like above 50, the only numbers that look good are 50 and 55.
Yes. I mean, like T hands looked normal in 50.
Yeah.
Like that's a pretty normal number. It also, it's positional. A point guard wearing 50 is like vomit. A center or a power forward wearing 50 can rock with it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'm out on the high number, guys.
So just for conversation's sake, the jerseys that are honored in the Dean Dome that are hanging, the only fives to make it are Ty Lawson and Marcus Paige. So I think those two, like you said, Paige for sure has to be on there. Those were our two locks. And then I like going Coda and Bacot to round out the group.
I'm surprised Coda hasn't gotten it.
I really am. The qualifications, you have to be, it's like you have to be either first or second team All-American or an MVP of a national champion team or an ACC player of the year. That's the qualifications for it. So Marcus got it from being first team All-American his sophomore year. Ty, second team All-American and an ACC player of the year. Huh, that's crazy. He was an ACC player of the year and wasn't first team All-American, but yeah.
The disrespect is crazy on the ACC. You can disrespect them this year. They stink. But other years in the past, man, like, come on. What are we doing here?
We got a conference as a whole needs to step their game up. We need you, Virginia. Well, I never want to cheer for Virginia, but they're just so bad right now. Like,
dude,
Miami needs to get it together. We need the heavyweights. Like, Carolina is doing our part, is doing their part. Hate to admit it, Duke is like starting to do their part. Clemson holding it for like those middle tier programs, like someone else has got to emerge. But
I'll give the ups to Q's too. They're 10-3,
yeah,
at least.
Q's, mm-hmm. And as at the time of recording, they're giving Duke all it can handle in Cameron. So
hey, and I would like to say this. It's my final note before we leave. Go back and watch our preview. We did a four corners, and me and Riley both had Syracuse top 4 in the ACC. So just saying.
Still has a chance to age poorly.
It does.
With that being said, we'll sign off for tonight. Once again, I'm Riley Davis, your host, joined by Jacob Karabatsis for The Pod is the Roof. Follow us both on Twitter. Follow the podcast page on Twitter. We've been getting some good engagement recently. We want to keep building that channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Helps a ton with visibility. And I'm going to tease this. Going forward, we're going to start finding a way to incorporate the YouTube comments.
Yes, we are. And a lot of guests will be coming on soon. So stay
Stay
strapped
tuned.
in.